fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-ho, Silver, the Lone Ranger.
With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the masked rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. The stories of his strength and courage, his daring and resourcefulness have come down to us through the generations. And nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver! Hurry, big fellow!
I'm Silver! Away! Mary Ann Saunter stood with her father before the great sprawling veranda of the Circle Dot Ranch House and laughed with him at the humorous picture before them. 100 yards away, the donkey had stopped. Having come apparently all the way from Foxton, the donkey probably figured that 100 yards, more or less, didn't matter at all. His rider, a small, immaculate Chinese, dismounted and tugged and pleaded patiently. Then, with a gesture of despair, the little man came on foot toward the ranch house.
Yeah, looks like a China boy. Good, I never saw anything so funny in my life.
He's lucky the donkey didn't quit out on the desert.
I wonder what he wants out here. You suppose
You're lucky by fine donkey.
No, sir, I don't want to buy no fine donkey.
Very good, donkey. Sell him your cheap leather bit.
Yes, I'll bet you would have that.
Well, does he often get stubborn like that?
All the time, is he? Bye bye, get hungry, come fast, chow chow.
Maybe you just better keep him hungry all the time, man, so he wouldn't bark so much. What can I do for you, mister?
Me look see for Saunders, fella. All the same, tell me fix a job.
Well, I'm Saunders. What kind of a job you hunting? Biscuit shooter?
Oh, gee, plenty of good fix your biscuit. Fix your roast beef, fix apple pie. Chop, chop, good fella, me.
Oh, well, there's a direct first-person recommendation for you, Dad.
Well,
tell in town, tell you need cook. Me cook, fix a plenty good glove, you bet.
Yes, sir, I'll bet you.
Fix laundry, breakfast, chop, chop, good handyman.
What's your name?
Name, Alu Singh Hoji. You call Archie.
Archie, huh? Well, now that's quite a name, I'll say. Okay, Archie, we can sure use a good biscuit shooter. If you want to work for 40 a month, the job's yours.
Very fine in business. Very good. Very dandy. Archie, fix yourself a chop chop. You get plenty good glove now. Archie, go kitchen. You be ready. Plenty soon come dinner bell.
Well, Dad, that's one problem you can stop worrying about.
And if that little man ain't a blessing, Mary Ann.
Who's the new hand, boss?
Chief cook and bottle washer. What's the matter? You look like bad news.
There been anything else around here lately?
Ross, what is it?
We took a tally of that bunch of heifers in the south draw this morning.
Yeah, go on, Ross.
We counted them three times. Me and Muley and Red. It was 35 head short.
I don't know. Makes a fella feel like bawling. That's it, crying like a baby. Either that or killing like a crazy wolf. How's a man going to protect himself?
You belong to the Cattlemen's Association, don't you?
You make me laugh. I've written to them half a dozen times, and they keep saying they're going to send out an investigator. Trouble is, they don't say when.
Time he gets here, there won't be anything left but gopher holes.
Well, there's only one thing to do, Ross. Have the boys move every head of stock on the place down to the East Range. We'll just have to bunch them and watch them until we can figure something out.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the only decent pasture land we got will be going to waste.
Can't help it. Rather lose a little grazing ground than lose my stock. Yeah, maybe I better move them up this afternoon. No sense losing any more if we can help it.
Sure. We'll get on it right now.
You know, I was reading a piece in some New York paper the other day.
Yes, Dad?
Told about how vicious. That's the word they used. How vicious some of us Westerners were. I would catch a horse thief or a cattle rustler and string him up by the neck pronto. I wondered when I read that piece about the man who wrote it. Wondered what he'd do if he caught some fella going through his pocket stealing his money. Taking every cent he had.
I suppose he'd call the police.
But suppose there wasn't any police. Then what?
Well, he'd have to protect himself, I guess.
I'd like to meet that fella. I'd like to tell him about this ranch. Better than $100,000 worth of beef cattle roaming all over 50,000 acres. Don't every hand sneaking, thieving rustlers waiting for a chance to pick off a few when they ain't got it.
It's almost the same as taking the money out of your pocket, isn't it?
Not quite. Fella shoves his hand in my pocket, I got a chance to get him. Out here, what chance have we got? Last year, good season. Should have made money. Lost better than $10,000 cash. Going to be the same this year, the way things are going. And they wonder why we give rustlers a short prayer and a quick rope.
Did Dan tell you where he was going?
Him not say. He think him just go for ride and Victor.
That boy is too young to be exploring this country by himself. When he gets back, I'm going to ask him not to leave camp alone.
Oh, all young fella plenty curious. Like see country.
That's just it. As long as he stays on the regularly traveled routes, I don't think there's any danger. But being a boy, he likes to get off the beaten path.
Kemosabe.
Yes?
Me look at Dan this morning. Him not look good.
Oh? How do you mean, Toto?
Him look, maybe little strange.
I hadn't noticed. Wish he'd get back so... here he comes now.
Him ride plenty fast, Kemosabe.
Nothing but rim rock and wild country in the direction he's coming from. I wonder...
Oh, Victor, whoa, boy. Oh, easy, fella.
Dan. Dan, where have you been? We're beginning to worry about you.
Golly, sir. I couldn't get back sooner. I was almost trapped in a box canyon about 4 miles north of here.
Trapped? In what way?
Well, I started out this morning. Didn't mean to go so far. But when I was about 2 miles from camp, I stopped and dismounted up on the rim rack to look around.
Now, what you see, Dan?
I was looking out across the valley. And there was a big herd of cattle grazing down there. Then, while I was watching, three men rode up and started cutting out some young stock. Must have been rustlers.
What made you think they were rustlers?
Well, in the first place, they were driving the cattle too fast. And then, well, they were just going the wrong way. There isn't a ranch or even a farm for 50 miles north of that Rimrock country.
That plenty wild country back there.
Go on, Dan.
Well, I couldn't head right back this way without being seen. So I rode ahead of them for a couple of miles, dodging through the rocks and boulders.
They may have been rustlers, but then again, they probably had honest reasons for driving those few head of cattle away from the herd. At any rate, it's just as well they didn't see you.
But they did, sir. And that's what's convinced me they were crooks.
What?
I got pretty well back in the rocks and dismounted, thinking I'd wait until they went by, and then start back for camp. And they came right up close, too. So close that I could see the men and hear them talking. Golly, I was scared.
I can't blame you for that. What happened?
Well, I'd have been all right, except that one of their horses must have sensed Victor close by and whinnied. Golly, he was looking right straight at where I was hiding. Well, anyway, I held Victor's nose, and he knew what I meant because he didn't even try to answer that whinny.
It's times like that when a well-trained horse is valuable.
So one of those riders stopped his horse and said he was going to take a look back in the rocks. He started my way and, well, I guess I just got buck fever because I jumped on Victor and rode out of there as fast as I could.
That was a smart thing to do, Dan. If those men were crooks, you'd have had a hard time explaining your presence there. They might have... Tell me, did any of them see you very plainly?
No, sir. They probably got a good look at Victor, but they didn't see anything but my back. When I broke out of cover, they all started to yell, and one of them chased me.
I don't imagine Victor had much trouble leaving an ordinary cowpony behind.
That crook had known that I was riding the Son of Silver. He could have saved himself the trouble. Golly, when he started shooting, you should have seen Victor stretch and run.
Shooting?
Well, if there was any question before about those men, there isn't now. Honest men wouldn't shoot at an unarmed boy.
That's just what I thought. Well, anyway, I'm sure glad to get back here. And from now on, sir, I'm not going back in that country alone.
You most certainly are not. You were lucky to have a good, intelligent horse that could carry you out of danger. Another time, your luck might be different. Tonto, get your horse ready. You and I are going to ride up into that country and take a look around.
What about me?
I have an errand for you, Dan. Here are some letters to be mailed at the post office. By the way, you feel all right?
Sure, I'm all right. Just excited, I guess.
It shouldn't take more than 3 or 4 hours for you to get there and back without hurrying. Tonto and I'll be back in camp before dark.
I'll come straight back from Foxton after I go to the post office.
Good. Come on, Tonto. Here, Silver.
Be ready.
Steady, big fella. All right, let's go.
Get him up, Scout. Hold Silver.
Riding steadily north into the Badlands, the masked man and his Indian companion came to the place Dan had told them about. Here they dismounted and studied the ground carefully.
See, your place where Dan hiding rocks.
Here's where one of the rustlers stopped and turned his horse into the rocks.
Here, trail plenty hard to read. Too much rock.
How much cattle would you say they were driving, Tonto?
Well, me not sure, Kemosabe. Maybe 25, maybe more.
Look here, an empty .44 shell.
Me like catch coyote, shoot a Dan.
So would I. Come on, let's follow this trail as best we can. Here, Silver.
Come, Scout.
Easy, big man. Come on, big fella.
Get him up, Scout.
No use going any further. We might be able to pick up the trail ahead, but it'll soon be dark. Let's head back for camp.
Dan be waiting for us now.
I'm his story. I doubt very much if any of those men would have seen him well enough to recognize him. But I don't like the thought of that boy getting into trouble.
You notice maybe how Dan look funny?
How do you mean?
Well, me think him look strange. Maybe sick.
I noticed he was somewhat flushed. Probably the excitement he had been through.
Me fix herb medicine tonight. Plenty good for a young feller.
Perhaps I should have asked him to go see a doctor while he was in Foxton. Come on, Silver.
Get him up, Scout.
Tomorrow morning, we're coming back at daylight and follow this trail up into the hills.
Isn't that good?
Faster, big fella.
Get him up, Scout.
The curtain falls on the first act of our Lone Ranger story. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments. Now to continue our story. When Dan Reed left the Lone Ranger's camp in the early afternoon to ride to the Foxton post office, he felt excited and breathless as any boy might after the dangerous adventure of a few hours earlier. Riding at a steady pace, the boy followed the well-marked trail to Foxton, through the sparsely wooded foothills and out across the burning fringe of desert. In the distance, the painted cliffs reflected a rainbow of color in the face of the sun. Halfway to town, the boy, trembling, reined his horse to a stop.
Whoa. Whoa, Victor. Oh, boy. Golly. I guess I'm still scared from this morning. I gotta get off and rest. Feel funny. Whoa, Victor. Whoa, boy.
Whoa, boy, whoa. Hi there, youngster. What's wrong?
Gotta get out of sight. Rustler's gotta get away. Hey there, I see you. Don't come any closer, you hear?
What in the world? Easy, boy. You're trembling like a leaf. What's wrong? Good heavens, boy, you're sick. You've got a fever.
No, Ranger. Guess I better turn back.
Oh, the poor boy must be delirious. I've got to get him back on his horse. Get him to the ranch house. Get the doctor.
As darkness came, Marianne Saunders returned to the Circle Dock with the sick boy. Quickly, with the help of Dan Saunders and Ross Newcomb, the feverish youngster was put to bed and a rider was sent to Foxton to bring the doctor. Later, in the long, rambling barn, Ross Newcomb unsaddled Dan's white colt and tied him in a stall. Then, swiftly, he made his way to the bunkhouse.
Hey, Red. Muley, come here.
What do you want?
Come on out here. I got something to show you.
What is it?
Over the barn. Come on.
It must be important calling us out at this time of the
night. Marianne just brought in a sick kid a while ago.
Yeah, we heard about it. Who was he?
Well, I'm wondering. Here, I just got through putting his horse away for him. Strike a match, friend.
Sure.
Ever see that white colt before?
Don't know. Just what do you...
Hey!
Yeah. What I said.
That's the horse that kid was riding this morning up in the Ream Rock.
Sure. The kid that was riding him is laying in the house, sick. That mean anything to you, gents?
That kid seen us this morning. Chances are he could identify every one of us. If he had the chance.
You're dead right, Muley. But I reckon we better see he don't have the chance.
Well, after midnight, Dan Saunders took the last look at the boy, Dan Reed, who was now sleeping restlessly. Then he stepped out, quietly closing the bedroom door. Down the dimly lighted hallway, Saunders went to his own room, then...
Just a minute.
Hey, who are you? The mask. Are you the...
Let me ask the question, Saunders. I'm looking for a boy who is somewhere about this ranch.
You're the Lone Ranger.
We followed the trail of his horse and another right up to your corral. Where's the boy?
Hey, come here. I'll show you.
I'm not in the mood for trickery. Lead on.
In here, masked man. The kid's gonna be all right.
He's going to be... What's wrong? What happened to him?
He's asleep. Nothing happened. Nothing that don't happen to any normal, healthy kid. He's down with the measles.
Measles? Well,
sure. The doc was out and looked at him, said there wasn't nothing to worry about.
No wonder Tonto remarked this morning that Dan didn't look just right. I should have noticed.
Dan?
His name is Dan Reed, my nephew. Let me look at him.
It's all right, Victor. Easy now.
We'd better clear out of here and let him sleep. He'll feel better in the morning.
I'm sorry if I doubted you, Mr. Saunders. I was worried about the
boy. Sure, of course you was. When he got to mumbling and talking, he mentioned you a lot.
I'm deeply grateful to you for bringing him here. If ever I can repay you in any way...
Yeah? Well, I've heard... Come on out in the kitchen. We'll have a cup of coffee. Something I'd like to tell you. That's what I'm up against. Don't know just how to fight the thing. I'd like to know where that China boy is. Ain't seen him around all evening.
Tell me more about this Chinese, Mr. Saunders.
Oh, gee. Just a cookie. Right good one, and a darn good handyman to have around.
Yes, probably better than you think.
Just how do you mean?
I'll tell you later. You lost some cattle this morning?
Sure. But how did you know that?
The boy Dan was riding through Rimrock to the north. He saw the men who ran off your stock.
He did?
Yes, they nearly trapped him up there in the rocks, but he got away.
Well, doggone, that's the first break I've had since...
Mr. Saunters, those men know that Dan could identify them. They won't let that happen if they can help it.
Say, if that's true, the kid ain't safe, is he?
He wouldn't be if we didn't know what we do now. I'm going to get Tonto.
Tonto? Well, that's the Indian rides with you, huh?
With your permission, I'm going to have Tonto stay in Dan's bedroom day and night until he's well. I never allow the boy to get into trouble or danger if I can help it. This morning was something unavoidable.
Sure, I can see that, did it? Listen, someone's at the door.
Kimasabe.
What is it, Tonto?
You come, feller.
Who's he got there with it? Hey! Oji, where you been, boy?
Oji have very bad time. China boy get bang on head, make a plenty of trouble. You bet.
What the blazes you talking about?
You put out light. Not let them see us from outside.
I'll get it. There. Now tell us what this is all about.
Well, me find China fella tied up in tool shed.
But who... What happened, O.G.? What in thunder is going on around this ranch?
I think O.G. can tell you a great deal if he chooses to, Mr.
Saunders. Well, I wish the blazes he choose to right now. Wrestlers running off my stock, low-down farmers shooting at kids, fellas ambushing McCook and beating the daylights
out of them. Please, Mr. Saunders, O.G. fix, I'll tell you all I say, chow, chow.
Should I tell this gentleman the whole story, Mr. Lone Ranger?
What? Hey, now,
I think it would relieve his mind very much, Alu Singh.
Now, wait a minute. Am I dreaming that... that Chinaman talking perfect English and you calling him Alu Singh?
When a man has graduated from the best universities in the country, there's no reason why he shouldn't speak good English if he wants to.
But,
I'm truly sorry to have been so dishonest with you, Mr. Saunders. It was just that I thought it necessary to conceal my identity in coming here. Naturally, you are needing a cook provided the perfect excuse.
Go on, I'm weak, but go on.
You have written many times to the Cattlemen's Association for help in protecting your ranch from thieves and rustlers. The association sent a man out here 3 months ago. A fellow named George Manley.
Manley? I remember him. He got killed in a saloon fight. Was he from the association?
Yes. Then I was sent out for two reasons. To find out about your troubles, but first to find out what happened to Manley. From what I've learned, he was murdered. The fight angle was a frame-up, a farce.
Alu Singh happens to be the best undercover man the association has, Mr. Saunders.
Well, I'll be... You sure had everybody fooled around here, Archie. I mean, Alu Singh.
Not quite everyone, Mr. Saunders. The people I wanted to fool most were not fooled at all. At least not very long. They caught me tonight. And if it had not been for the Lone Ranger's admirable companion, I should have been in very grave difficulty.
Where'd they catch you? Who were they?
You'll find out plenty soon. Me think them wake now, outside house.
Eh? What do you mean, Tonto?
Quickly, let's get to Dan's bedroom, Tonto. I want you to stay there until this is over.
You not worry about Dan. Tonto watch him plenty good.
Alu Singh, stay here with Mr. Saunders. Don't make any light. I'll be back in a moment. So, at any rate, we don't have to worry about anyone getting into his room. Tonto will guard that boy as he would his own life.
Alu Singh has been telling me what we're up against. He figures the bunch that's after Dan is right close by, but he won't tell me who they are.
He probably has a better way of showing you who they are than by telling you.
Hey!
Outside, quickly. Stay together and keep your eyes open. Someone tried to get into Dan's room. Tonto must have given them an unpleasant surprise.
Look out, to your left.
There they are, let him have it!
We see you back there. If you want more, try that again.
Oh, my shoulder!
You two off in the shadows.
Drop your guns and step out beside your partner.
Ross, what the devil? What are you crazy girls up to anyway? Muley, Red.
Ask your friend, the Lone Ranger.
I could tell you, I think. But let Ah Loo Sing say it and make it official.
What do you mean, official?
A man you and your friends beat up and locked in the tool shed happens to be an ace detective for the Cattlemen's Association.
Detective?
Ross, my old foreman. Oh, I can't believe it.
I'm leaving Tonto here, Mr. Saunders, to keep an eye on Dan Reed. When he's better, you'll find he can identify these men without trouble. Meanwhile, with your help, Ah Loo Sing can handle them very nicely.
Yes, now, thanks to you and your friend Tonto.
Hey, listen to that China boy talk. Mister, we should have fixed you when we had the chance.
Ah, too late now, Mr. Loss. Too bad. Very sorry. Now, oh, gee, fix it. Fix a plenty good at chop-chop, you bet.
Why don't you dry up?
Oh, gee, fix your laundry. Whitewash, dirty fella, plenty clean. Fix it very good, very dandy. All the same, fix a bad man's hash, huh, Mr. Loss?
Are you silver?
The story you have just heard is a copyrighted feature of the Lone Ranger Incorporated.